And now, please welcome from the U.S. of A. And he has a t-shirt on that he might want to show you. Paul Nelson.
Well, it's our year. I got to wear the t-shirt. I grew up in Chicago, but I live in Seattle. I'm honored to be part of this evening and part of this book. Thank you. I try to take Lake Washington Boulevard going home. It's a scenic route done by Olmsted, who did Central Park and many other parks. And as tour guide, I point out the house where Kurt Cobain spent his last moments. And there's a park next to the house, and people leave flowers and carve things into the bench, like "I love you, Kurt," or "Kurt lives," or "Courtney is a blank." And he's got a new memorial now down in the town where he grew up, in Aberdeen. And this poem was written at that spot. This is for Kurt Cobain. Was it a typical July Aberdeen day? The sun, glasses off, on, off, or find our way up 101 to the bridge, the muddy Huishkal, stinking water. And me from the city of stinking onions. And you souring the tide twice a day with your drugs will F dash 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 you up and your bacterial infection. Kurt, did you do it? Kurt, why Madrona? Kurt, where the torn down walls with blood on them? Kurt, we try to challenge the corruption in ourselves and seek the serenity of mud like you did the Huishka, and like we do in Aberdeen, July, waiting for the tide to shift. Trying like Nirvana not to be the last man who sold the world.
Thank you very much, Paul. And now please welcome Andrea Rain.
First, I also want to thank Cynthia and Yvonne and Ursula, and I feel very privileged to be part of this beautiful book. I have two little boys, 3 years old and 8 months old, and so my creative life these days feels like it's getting pushed farther and farther into another space. So this poem is mostly about that. Poems happen now. When I'm washing dishes, they, you know, formulate in my head, and then someone will start yelling or crying, and poof, there goes my poem. So this poem is called Song for the Song of the Abandoned Piano. A graveyard of keys and the dormant sound of Mozart, Pachelbel, chopsticks, maybe Suwannee River. With a 3-foot-tall critic in the house, the songs are short too, and rudimentary. Your untuned ivories now used as miniature speed bumps, while my nervous fingers twitch a forgotten melody. You are a shelf for all the things that keep us apart, another counter space. At night, I clean off the debris, tune your hidden strings, teach you to sing again. In a sound-barriered world, a place with no disturbances, where the notes fly up like birds, their hard-shelled mouths open in time. Thank you.
Thanks, Andrea. Please welcome Susan Brady.
Hello. 8 years ago, I decided I would move to the West Coast and write. I didn't know about planet Earth poetry when I came. What a treasure awaited me. So I thank you all, the whole community, and especially the creators of this lovely book. The poem I'm going to read is called A Woman of a Certain Age. A woman of a certain age should not carry frankincense. The mirror should not bear the gravity of her reflection. In the bread, she should hide coins from passing magicians. She should not dry her husband's feet with her hair, should shun glass slippers, olive branches, quiet churches. She should not fold fig leaves into the winding sheets, nor lower the pail into the dark cavity of the village well. So I read on the tablet of the convent cemetery. Better she place her ear on the belly of an ancient doe, hear the cry of a newborn from a far-off moon, lay her cloak on the salt dunes of hollow seas, breathe her knowing on the cloth till water breaks.
Thank you, Susan. Three more poets.
Yahoo.
I mean, not Yahoo. I wanted to keep going. Please welcome Dirk Wynand.
Thank you, Yvonne. Thank you, Cynthia, for helping keep me on PK's planet. It's all right, I'll raise my voice and lower my mouth or do something that will get the volume going. I'm using this because it has a slightly bigger font size. And I'm now a senior. Colonial City. This was written in Guanajuato some years ago. Guanajuato was once one of the richest cities in Mexico. I think it was actually the richest city. It's a silver mining city. You enter it by way of tunnels. It has fallen on somewhat harder times. What the bells have in common with frogs, and the frogs have in common with the bell puller, and the bell puller with the flies in the evening and the morning flies, and the precise angle of light that allows them to shimmer, and how the light enables the frogs to vanish inside it the way the flies do, down their throats, and how the light and the flies allow their unseen throats to open and release their frog hallelujahs, their protests and lamentations, and how the same light that consumes the frogs makes more visible the rope that slants down from the bell's clapper, not the bell, to produce the same sound, go on, go on, go on, time to put all the long day's hours away. The bells in the steeple left standing on the right of the cathedral, bells rendered immobile by the same earthquake or slower rust even bells cannot escape. The bells still toll, clapper pulled by a rope set now at a changed angle. The bell puller changed also, working a new angle too. And the listener sees a different rope pulled. The bells still toll the same, even if the one who listens hears an altered sound that carries with it some of the shaking an earthquake brings, and some slower fire of iron as the oxygen takes it, relentless light that dims the eye, dulls the ear, wears down the mind and the bone. The dome beneath which the bell is rusting, and whose layers of plaster and paint keep breaking away, and on the side of which a sapling keeps trying to grow, planted there by a pigeon maybe, the ideal of which tends less toward pigeon than dove. While the real pigeons keep on settling as soon as the rung bell trembles toward the same old silence in which the silent pigeon shit eat still more plaster and paint away. This same dome lends a different shape to the barren mountain behind, it too wearing away, but more slowly. The light of dusk slowly, slowly letting go of it, almost reluctant. Or is the reluctance more in the mountain than the light, more in the pigeon that flutters into it and out of it, half spirit, half flesh, Or is it most in the one who waits for the monk, who waits and waits to ring the bell, each clang of which makes more of the paint and too much of the mountainside go? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dirk. Again, it's just so wonderful to hear these poems read. Our penultimate poet tonight is Devorah Levin. Please welcome her.
Good evening. I was thinking about how extended families often have some cousin or aunt or somebody who collects the stories, who keeps the record, and somebody who gathers everybody together. And I was thinking how lucky we are in our extended poetry community to have the people we do who have done that for us. So thank you so much. And my poem is about that sliver of time between waking and sleeping, where I think all of us experience something quite different. It's called Melding. A cold, dark 5:30 anti-meridian, and I am falling through a hole in my personality. A weightless floating, falling, a falling into green vertigo. No oxygen, no breathing, just a beat, beat, beating. Swimming through underground caves, faded etchings carved into the walls, the cave of wrong turns, the grotto of shame, a small cavern of good deeds. Stalactites of delight and surprise, everything is not as I thought it would be. Beyond the clutter of noise, mouths appear, still painting words on the walls. Inside the deep silence just before dawn, I drift beyond duality, leave that place where we have learned to duel so valiantly, mind against body, then against now, me against other. I meld slowly into the everything, merge with the perfect unity, a momentary meld, so soon serrated by the sharp edge of daylight. I drift into the kitchen to slice and pour, prepare to meld with hot buttered toast, ginger green tea.
Please welcome, thank you, Devorah, first. Please welcome our last poet for the evening, Tris Partisher.
A final thank you for this book, and no less sincere for that. It's a good looking book. My poem is called Penned. The calves were penned every spring, and we watched helplessly what was done to them as a seasonal chore on the farm. Young, black and white, around our height, they compelled us to climb up on tails to better see their swarm of candy heart noses, their bleating and milling chaos of contrasts, bright and dark life blotted here and there, with scattershot spots of yellow excrement. The sharp scent of their heat and fear stuck to us in nervous excitement over their predicament. Skittish and no comfort to each other, they wanted only their mother's large warmth and substance, but their rightful milk was off to market and no longer for their sustenance. Though this weaning was the worst, further tortures awaited, like castration, grotesque dehorning, the sickening, baffling smoke, rough needles poked in bony flanks, fortifying them against disease. But what of all this horror, mutilation, and abject loss? What did this do to us farmers' daughters, motherless ourselves? We reached through the slats of the pen to stroke the passing silk of their coats, tried to calm them with the flats of our hands.
Beautiful. Thank you all. Thank you, Tris. And thank you all for this. It's just been tremendous. I'm going to pass the mic back over to Yvonne. And there we go. That's it, right? Come on. We're done. Our friendship survived this. It's a miracle. I have to announce for next week. We go on from here. Isn't it amazing? It amazes me.
Yeah.
But I was going to thank everyone at the beginning, but then I thought, oh, maybe I'll leave it for the end. So I want to thank Ursula Vera. Wow, has she worked hard for all of us. So thank you, Ursula. And Cynthia. She and I could spend the rest of our lives thanking each other, so I want to thank Wendy Morton. Thank you, Wendy. And Patrick Lane. Thank you, Patrick. And the owners of the Mocha House, Michael and Natalia, who aren't here, but will thank their lovely staff. Thank you. You know, take the book out into the world. It's a beautiful thing, and it's an amazing artifact of what happens here every Friday night. So thank all of you for participating in it. Next week, we have three readers, Rob Taylor, Susan Gillis, and Marita Dashell. And Rob is from Vancouver, and Marita is from here, and Susan Gillis, I'm not sure. Montreal, thank you, and Susan from Montreal. And that reading is supported by the Canada Council for the Arts. Thanks again, everyone. I'm thinking, if you were in the book, could you please come up onto the stage for a photograph? And please mingle, please take your cups over to the gray bin or the countertop. Any other announcements I should make? I think that's it. Thank you. I'm so excited.